Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from UnitedHealthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a UnitedHealthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare plans at uhc.com/Medicare.
Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. So I did a thing. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Fallout Lorecast. You know that. Everybody knows that this is the Fallout Lorecast. Welcome back. I did a thing. I decided to start playing Fallout 76 again. And I know I've been very clear about my how I engage with games and media. I like to bounce around across different things. I enjoy lots of different games. I like to play not only a variety of RPG games, but also indie titles and shooters and fighting games, all sorts of things. I enjoy a wide spectrum of gaming, but I always go back to the classics. I always go back and play another updated, modded version of Fallout 4, or jump back into Elder Scrolls, or heck, jump back into Fallout 76 and play with other people or by myself. And I've got some thoughts. That's what this episode will be about. So if you're expecting lore this episode, I'm sorry, you might be disappointed. But it is time to cover getting back into Fallout 76 in 2024 after taking a significant leave. I haven't seriously played this game other than just kind of diving in every so often in probably about 2 years. And just for some background on all of this, so you understand the context of everything, I'm going to be covering the things that surprised me, my perspective on getting back into the game as somebody who played a significant period of time with two different accounts. Years ago, when I did the Mechanist TV thing, I bought a whole separate copy of the game and played through to like above level 100 with that character after already leveling my initial character and playing through all of that content. There's been a lot of updates to the game, and there are a lot of people who are jumping into this game for the first time. So I want to point out some of the things that really stand out to me about the Fallout 76 experience. And also, thank you to everybody who reaches out to me. The show has been a crazy success over the last month because of the Fallout TV show. We have well over 500,000 downloads in the last 30 days, which is insane. And as you can imagine, with numbers like that, a lot of people have reached out to tell me very kind things. Thank you to everyone. And I also get a lot of, hey, if you decide to jump into Fallout 76 again and you want to play with other people, let me know. I get a lot of those kinds of invitations, and I'm mostly a solo player. I sometimes will play with certain friends and things like that, but if you do see me in game, and Sulior, I saw you, we were at that event together killing aliens, if you see me in game running around as robots, then that's the character I'm currently playing, my original character. If you see the Mechanist TV, that's my son running around. We might be in the game, so maybe you can come find us. But I thought it was time. It is time to take a look at Fallout 76 in 2024. What's good about it? What still could be improved? And especially if you're a new player or a new fan of Fallout, is it worth playing? Let's see. So let's talk about the intro experience. One of the things I did when I jumped back in is I was hesitant to just get back into the character that I had played so long ago. And I know for some people, they're like, oh my God, you'd be leaving so many things behind. You've accomplished so many of the quests and gathered so many items and built camps and done all of these things. And I get that. I totally understand. And that was on my mind as well. But I was like, you know what? If I was to jump back into this game and create a new character, what would that be like? And it's improved. This is one of the updates that came out a few years ago where they changed the beginning of the game. And you start in the vault, as always. You work your way through the vault. You pick up all the different items and you see all the little the Mr. Handys who are talking about surviving in the wasteland and all of that. And then you get out of the vault. And the first thing I was reminded of when leaving the vault is you have a choice of what level you want to start at. You can start at level 2 or you can start at level 20. And this is significant because the beginning parts of this game as a level 2 player with basically no perk cards. I mean, you've got a little bit and very little gear can be kind of daunting. The early level enemies you come across without having a whole lot of ammo mean that you have to worry about, do I shoot at this? Do I use my vats to make sure the shots hit? I don't want to run out of bullets. Do I have to go use melee more often? There are some choices you have to make, and there are some quest lines that you might want to put off if you are just leveling naturally through the game. If you head to the Wayward and you follow the main quest route as it was from Wastelanders after that update, you can quickly, if you just focus on that, get into some situations where you are fighting enemies at the end of certain quests that can be very difficult, especially by yourself. So, given the option of starting at level 20 is a really great idea. It takes a while to get from level 2 to level 20. And so that's the choice I made, because I've started at the beginning two times, actually more than two times over. And so I was like, okay, what is the level 20 experience like? You start as a level 20 character, but then it gives you the ability to choose a certain type of build. You can be somebody who focuses on assault weapons that are fully automatic, or you can be somebody who focuses on melee weapons or shotguns or single fire rifles, things like that. And when you pick that selection from the screen, it gives you a suggested setup for your special. So however many, how much strength or perception or charisma that you would want. And then it also gives you a specific selection of cards that you should probably start with from the beginning in order to actually make that build kind of work. And as we all know, with these types of online games, your build and customizing your build, getting all of the perk cards right, getting the exact right gear that you want, is the long game of MMO style games. It's the grindy part, right? You want to go do the events so you get the next drop, so you can take the legendary item, and if it doesn't work for your build, you either sell it or you break it down, you get more scrip, you take the scrip to Mama Murmur, and then you roll for a new item or for legendary modules so you could manually upgrade specific items or weapons and see what rolls you get. That's the end game progression, and it's very important. But what this does is it sets the standard and expectations for that from the beginning. And it gives you something to start with, because let's be honest, Fallout 76 is a different and more complex kind of game than the other Fallout games that we're more familiar with. There's a lot of the bones of the previous games in it, but in order to make a game that people can keep coming back to year after year after year, it needs more complexity. So to start as a level 20 character and make that work is brilliant. I picked, typically I go with melee builds, or I go with single shot sniper kind of sneaky builds, and I've bounced around those. I've also played a shotgun build. I've dabbled in pistols, which, by the way, really needs a buff. The pistol builds and the shotgun builds are just not the greatest ones out there. I typically don't go heavy weapons, although heavy weapons are very popular in Fallout. But I hadn't played a full assault build, so I started with that on that character. And sure enough, it gives you exactly the perks that it's suggesting from the beginning. And then there's definitely room to improve that build, and there's definitely better items to get because you're only level 20. And you have ammo and some other stuff that's added to your collection, and some armor. You get basic armor, and then you're ready to go. And the ramp up at the beginning isn't as daunting. And there are a few other things that make it not as daunting for new players. The fact that there are boxes around the world that more experienced players can dump their stuff in that other people can find and pull out is genius. As a level 20 character, I ran down the initial hill. As you all know, you come out of the vault and there's the stairs down the front of the vault, down this like mountainside. And you meet the two ladies that are the first quest givers in the game. They say, go to the Wayward. And right next to them is a red box. This is a donation box. And from what I understand, it has some default items that might spawn in it. But if I, as a more advanced character, have some items or equipment that I don't need, I can put it in any of those boxes across the entire map. And then they will show up in other boxes. It's almost like the boxes are all connected. And then new players can get that gear. So I can put really beneficial stuff in there. I can put some nuke shine in there. I can put whatever I want in there and help people out. It's a great experience. The other thing I noticed is that because so many people in this last month have jumped into this game for the first time, the average level is so much lower. It got to the point where I was so used to seeing people with level 500 characters or higher running around the map. And then all of a sudden, due to this last month's influx of new players, there are new people leaving the vault. There are smaller level characters, sub 100 level characters at events. It felt so cool to see new people in the game and so welcoming. So I started this new character and played a little bit and played with my son. I'm trying to get my son back into the game and he's enjoying it a little bit, but it doesn't stand up to some of the other games that he wants to play in his mind. He's a big Overwatch fan and he's got a few other games that he kind of goes to regularly. But we started with some early level characters and then I was like, wait a minute, why are we doing this? I have two much higher level characters that have already accomplished a lot, and I know he's not going to go through every quest in the game. So I was like, okay, you take my mechanist character, who I created, what was that, 2-3 years ago now, and got to above level 100, and I'll take my original character, and even though it's daunting to figure out, okay, what things do I still need to do? What equipment do I have? What build was I even using? It's been a long time. Where is my camp? All of that stuff. We went and we set up those characters. And that was also a great decision. I probably would have been happy either way, going back through the quest lines that I'd already done, or going back to these other characters. And one of the things I realized is that my original character hadn't done a lot of the content that came out in the years after the Wastelanders update. I had done a lot of the Wastelanders stuff, but then since then you have the stuff with the Crater Raiders and Foundation. You have all of the Brotherhood stuff that showed up. I hadn't done any of the Brotherhood stuff. And then there's the trips to the Pit and to Atlantic City. All of that content was still available for me to do on my original character because I'd spent so much time on the mechanist character in the preceding years after I kind of swapped. So I was like, okay, cool. I get to play through a lot of this content again. And on top of that, I can figure out a new build. I can figure out how I want to engage in this game and explore all of these things that I hadn't discovered. And in the last few years, there have been a lot of updates to weapons and armor, to the actual end game side of the game. There's new quests that you can do that have rolled out. Some of them I never did finish. And it's been so much fun just playing Fallout again in Fallout 76. And I'm starting to realize, I'll just take a little side note here as I go through this discussion and list out all the things that I've enjoyed or haven't enjoyed. This is sounding like it's an advertisement. It's not. I'm not funded by Bethesda. There's no money in this at all. They haven't reached out to me about anything. In fact, it would be wonderful if they did, because I'd love to have some of the devs on to interview again and do some of that stuff, because it's been a while. But this experience was very refreshing. So let's go through some of the things that I noticed on my higher level character. Now, diving back into the game, first of all, the game just works so much better. I know some people are still experiencing crashes on, especially like the PlayStation. I've noticed a lot of those comments on Reddit about people having issues with the alien invasion stuff crashing on them and some other things. And I'm sorry that some people are experiencing that. That's still a huge bummer. I've had the game drop servers twice in the last month, and I've played a few dozen hours, I think, in the last month or so. So that seems to be a thing that happens when the server just kind of naturally needs to cycle and needs to restart. It happened, let's say, three times in the last month or so, which isn't a huge deal. You just load back into another server. You continue doing what you're doing. It's a little bit of a bummer, but it's not a big deal. Outside of that, I haven't had any major glitches. There's a weird glitch that was going on with people with certain types of guns, especially guns that have projectiles like rockets and things like that, shooting and then moving. And then the next few shots, especially in VATS, would continue from their previous position they were at, which is weird. They fixed that. Supposedly that got patched. I didn't experience that at all, but it's a thing. You know, bugs happen in games. The only experiences that I used to get that I was able to fix is a bug where all of a sudden, if you're trying to run in a specific direction, it either stutters, almost like you stubbed your toe. In fact, if you listen to some of those old versions of the show where I play through the game, you'll notice I'll mention things like, oh, I guess I stubbed my toe again. I thought that was just a weird thing that just kind of happened when your character hit a bump in the ground. Turns out it has to do with the frame rate of your PC version of the game being unlimited or having too good of a graphics card. And so it runs at a higher clip than it should. And then sometimes it glitches out. And sometimes it also, you would push to move in a direction and it wouldn't register right away. And you'd have to push a different direction or stop and push again in order for you to move, which was frustrating. I figured it out. There's a thread online somewhere that I found. It was like, hey, just limit your frame rate. Just cap your frame rate using your driver settings. And I did that, and I haven't had any problems with that at all. So that stuff's great. So outside of the technical details, I have enjoyed so much about just being in this world again. The variety of the map locations, the going to locations that I remember fondly from previous quest lines and things like that, but then finding new quests in different locations, new dailies, the transformation of some of the locations, the being able to travel outside of the main map to other new locations. The selection of monsters has expanded. There are new cryptids and even new base monsters in different parts of the game. There's so much new here that I haven't experienced in the last few years. It was so refreshing. But you know what? I'm already 17 minutes into this podcast, so I have to go thank our patrons. I'll be back, and I'm going to detail all of the other things I really enjoyed about my Fallout 76 experience. So don't go anywhere.
Plan on flying? In order to board domestic flights, your driver's license or state-issued ID must be a real ID. Learn how to get your real ID today at tsa.gov/real ID or visit your local DMV.
Good to see another of General Atomic's finest, still eager to serve.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. I'll try to make this brief as possible. Welcome to our newest patrons, Jacob J., Stephen W., and Hugar. I think it's pronounced Hugar. Thank you for signing up. I hope you're enjoying the ad-free episodes. And those of you who signed up at the higher tiers, I hope you are excited about the t-shirts and stickers and joining this show and me and everybody else on the patron chat at the end of the month, which is just a few weeks away. We're just 2 weeks away from the 29th, which is the next patron chat. So if you'd like to sign up and join us, you have time to do that. Also, we have to shout out our sentry bots, Germinator and Pluto Mayhem. Thank you so much for your support as well. And also to all 116 of you out there supporting the show on Patreon. Thank you so much. If you've enjoyed the show, it's helping you get through your workday, your workout, your commute, any of that stuff, head over to patreon.com/falloutlorecast and check out all the different stuff you can get. Also, you can leave a review on Apple Podcasts like these wonderful people. This one is from Smavartes Harigabalar. I totally butchered that. They're from Sweden, if you can't tell. I can't speak languages outside of English. I can barely speak English. Thank you so much for taking the time to leave this review. It says, best Fallout podcast. Greetings from Sweden. Have followed your podcast for about 2 years, but only listened to some episodes, but have started to listen from your first episode to the last. Well, thanks for giving it another shot. That's awesome. Then this one is actually from Awesome, and then a bunch of letters that I'm not even going to try to pronounce from the United States, who writes from Justin J. Brizzle Bryant. I just started this podcast and I'm pleasantly surprised by the quality. Robots has a pleasant voice and a soothing cadence. The writing and preparation is thoughtful and thought-provoking, as the conversational format should be. And the sound design right out of the gate is tremendous. Just after listening to episode one, I knew this podcast was made by professionals. And more importantly, it was made by Fallout fans. Until I get caught up with the release schedule, I wanted to check in as a new listener and offer my gratitude for such an in-depth audio format of my favorite game series of all time. Well, thank you, Awesome. That's great. That's awesome. I should have just said that. Then we have one from V and Pizza in the United States, who writes, "Everything Fallout. Love this show. I recently started listening to podcasts when I run. I enjoy conversational formats, and this show has done a great job with setup and conversation. Wonderful job, robots." Well, thanks, V. And then we have another one from Cruise 45 in the US, who writes, "Wi-Fi Monster 98. I've loved Fallout since I was a little kid playing in the Capital Wasteland. I've always loved the lore of these games, but struggle to actually sit and read and find bits of lore. This show is all that and more. Thank you for providing this kind of content." Well, thank you for tuning in and leaving a review. Also, you can leave a rating on Spotify. 5-star ratings on Spotify are huge. They're very helpful. You can also share the show with your friends, or you can just jump in the Discord and say hi. We have a wonderful community. So thanks for helping to support this. All right, let's get back to the other things about Fallout 76 that really stood out to me. Here we go.
"If you have any questions about Nuka World, I'd be delighted to answer them."
All right, let's go over some of the other things that I mentioned in more detail, because there's a lot to really enjoy about Fallout 76. First of all, the map is incredible. This is one of those things, whenever you play a game, you go back to the game, you're like, oh yeah, I remember going over here and I remember going over here. The baseline map, which is about to get even bigger in Fallout 76, is huge. It's four times the size of Fallout 4. And the different biomes are so interesting and well designed. Everything is handcrafted. This is one of the big criticisms people had of Starfield, is that so many of the areas are generated and not handcrafted. Everything in this game is handcrafted. Every little place. If you are like me and you enjoy just being in the world and going from one building to the next, poking around, seeing what items you can find, collecting a bunch of garbage you could turn into stuff to build your camp even more or repair your weapons or whatever, and you just like wandering around and coming across stuff, this game has so much of that. And so many of those locations I remember, but I don't remember to the exact minutia. And a lot of them have been updated over the years. Not everything, but things have changed. And it's so enjoyable to just jump back in and explore or re-explore a part of the map or one of the new expeditions or anything. Every zone in this feels lovingly created. And for lore reasons as well. I've detailed a number of these things. Remember when I went back through the beginning of Fallout 76 and the different places you come across really early and the different buildings and organizations and the companies that used to be there or the research center in this place, and detailed some of the lore behind that? Every location has a reason, has a history. Everything feels lived in, and it feels like this world absolutely was destroyed and went through a cataclysm and then had to rebuild. It's so well done. So let's talk about some of the more endgamey stuff. First of all, there are tons of events that pop off every on just a regular cadence. There are public groups you can join in, and you don't even have to run around with the people in the public groups. You can just join in a casual group to make sure that you get more XP when you do stuff, or an event group, or a daily op group, and just jump in with a group of other people. The community is very friendly. I've rarely had any negative experiences with people running around in this game. And then now you're going from playing this like it's a solo player game, which you can totally do and just basically rarely ever run into anyone else. And then all of a sudden you have other people around you and you can do a group event together. And because there is a diversity of individuals, there are some people who are very, very high level and super spec'd out, and then there are newer people. As long as enough people show up for an event or somebody high enough level helps carry it for you, if you're a lower level, you can get through the event. You can experience those things. And that allows you to get the things that drop from the events. There are ways to collect more ammo in different kinds of situations, like daily ops drops a lot of ammo. And generally speaking, all of that works really, really well. So let's talk about the gear. There are so many different types of weapons in the game now. When the game launched, there were a lot of the staples, right? You've got the pipe weapons, you have different forms of melee weapons, and a lot of new things came to Fallout 76, like the Death Tambo and some of the other upgrades for the weapons that you were more familiar with from, say, Fallout 4. But it is exploded. There are tons of new weapons that have dropped over the last few years. Everything from flame throwing weapons to specific types of heavy weapons with like plasma and laser, to alien weapons, to other sorts of melee weapons that are super fun to use, that like from the Pit DLC, you've got the auto axe. There's all sorts of really cool stuff, and chainsaws with fire coming out of them. The weapons and the gear, and there's new armor stuff for you as well. Of course, they keep expanding the power armor if you're somebody who likes power armor. And I'm somebody who uses power armor when I need it, but I'd rather run around without it. And for me, there's a number of varieties of improved armor that you can get from specific quest lines or learn how to build or buy from people's shops that weren't in the game a few years ago that make a non-power armor build more viable. That stuff's really cool. And the effects of the weapons, the way they work, the diversity, crossbows and bows are in the game now. There's so much cool stuff that you can collect and try to use and figure out, does this work for your build or not? And they're continuing to update those things as well. Each of these gets a little bit of a tweak now and then. The other thing about weapons that was a huge bummer for a number of years is that when the game launched, there were certain types of weapons that were just broken. And if you played in the early, early months of the game especially, you could come across one of these weapons that would just obliterate everything. And for the longest time, there was debate about this. Should they get rid of these? Because they made them no longer available. But if you had one, or you were able to buy one from somebody, you were basically unstoppable. It was like having a cheat code in the game. They removed those. Those are gone. So you no longer have to worry about showing up at an event and somebody just decimating everything before you even get a shot in. Everything feels so much more balanced. It is a huge improvement, and I'm so glad that it's in the game. So legacy weapons, gone. Don't have to worry about them. Let's talk about the quest lines. The quest lines that I have played that I hadn't played before are so good. The voice acting is so good. The stuff that leads to some of these new updates, the White Springs improvement with it being an actual base that like the responders are at, and there's people walking around doing things. The game feels so much more alive. A lot of the criticisms early on were that there were no human NPCs in the world. And that's a legitimate criticism. It felt very empty. The idea was that the players would be the NPCs, and it didn't really work out so well. Now you can come across NPCs everywhere. I'm not sure when I see somebody walking around in the distance if they are a Blood Eagle and I need to snipe them in the head, or if they're just a settler, and I got to get close enough to figure that out. And when I do go to specific locations where there's people, they have unique personalities. They're interesting. Some of them lead to daily quest lines that get you some cool stuff if you're just looking for something else to go do. Some of them lead to other major quest lines that connect to new content. It all works together so seamlessly. If you're looking for something to do, you can turn off all of the quests on your Pip-Boy and open the map, and you'll see a bunch of non-filled in little boxes or little diamonds across the map, and you know, oh, I can go over there and do these quests, I can go over here and do these quests, I can go over here and do these quests, and then you can just toggle them on. Fast travel over, pay a few caps, or if you're smart about it, go to a camp or a location that doesn't require caps to fast travel to, and then run over or spend a little bit less to double fast travel. And then now you're doing another quest or an event or something else. There's so much to keep you involved. And I think that's, if anything, let's talk about some of the negatives. If there's anything to complain about, there's just too much to do. I can imagine somebody jumping into this game and just feeling overwhelmed. But if you're starting from the beginning, it meets it out at a decent clip. It doesn't hit you over the head with everything you need to do from the beginning in order to be OP. You can just play it like a Fallout game and then discover the different parts and interact with the community and say, hey, what are the best plans to get if I have this sort of build? What kinds of mutations should I have? What kinds of perk cards should I be setting up? And once you figure all of that out, you can redesign your character. You can go to one of those stations where you can change out all of your special attributes at any point in the game. You don't even need a station for this. You can swap out your perk cards. So if there are only a few that are different between, say, two builds that are very similar, or you just want to get a little bit of extra caps when you go shopping, you can just swap in the perk card that you wanted to put there, and all of that works. And yet there's still tons of depth. So you can play the perk card game, break them down, and build up your legendary perk cards in order to even more specialize your character. There's so much there. And so I can imagine this could be a problem for people who get overwhelmed. But don't worry, the community is there to help. There's a lot of people answering questions on the Discord and on Reddit threads and in videos. There's a lot of information out there if you just take a little bit of time to look up the information that you didn't know and you wanted to find out. And that leads me to my biggest complaint. My biggest complaint about this game, and probably about every Bethesda game, is carry weight limits. And this has been a problem from the beginning. They've continued to expand this. Your stash is now at like 1,200. That's a lot of room, but you will fill it up. You have to still manage your carry weight. And certain builds can carry more. You can get power armor to help you carry more. You can get backpacks. You start out with a small backpack. If you jump to level 20, you can get the big backpack. And that is still, I think, the biggest hurdle in this entire game. No, it is not defeating the Scorch Beast Queen or anything like that. The biggest hurdle in this game is managing your weight. And then also doing the freaking tadpole quests in order to get the large backpack, which I did not do. It was one of those things that I would work on. And then because it was so tedious and frustrating, I would just put it to the side and just be like, fine, I don't need those extra few pounds of carry weight. I'll just use my excavator armor. And so I finally knocked that out. And thankfully, there are guides online about which are the easiest parts of the quest to do in order to knock it out. It's a complex thing where you have to do, you've got like a list of, I don't know, 10 or 12 different badges you have to earn. You know, like there's an archery one, there's an athletics one, and you have to do a variety of different things in order to achieve those badges, which are all very tedious. Once you finally do that, you're gifted a large backpack, and now you have extra carry capacity and the world is happy again. It's a lot to get through, and I get that the people who designed this were like, well, it's an MMO style kind of quest for a thing that would be very valuable, so it's going to take a little while. I get it. It's kind of a bummer though. I wish they would streamline that, because at this point it feels like extra carry weight should just be something that anybody can go get. It would be really cool to go to the tadpole section of the map, the little camp, and get a quest and knock out, say, the equivalent of one of the badges in order to get a backpack. And then you're done. And you can do the others if you want in order to get extra rewards or to knock out achievements. But at least you have the backpack, which helps you do those things. The other bummer is ammo. Ammo, if you are obviously melee, isn't a problem. If you are somebody who is using more single shot style builds from slow shooting weapons, typically you can find enough in the environment or from the bodies of the creatures or enemies that you kill in order to keep yourself stocked and continue to collect more. Oftentimes you collect more of the ammo you're not using and have to sell that. And I get that they've tried to fix this in a few different ways. You can convert the ammo using the ammo converter devices, which is extremely tedious as well. I wish they would revamp that interface because it's horrid. You can sell stuff and then use caps and go to other camps to buy ammo. You can do the daily ops in order to try to equip the gun that you want the ammo for when you kill things. But it's a secondary thing you have to worry about rather than just doing well at the daily ops. I wish ammo was less of a problem, but it is a continual problem. And it's one of the reasons why I still haven't fully committed to an assault or a heavy weapons build. ammo is something that it feels like work to maintain and manage your ammo. I don't mind like, oh, I've got two weapons on me just in case the first weapon breaks. And then I have to make sure that I go and fix the other weapon at my camp. I have to make sure I collect things around the map. All those cycles are enjoyable. And I don't mind that. I don't mind fixing my armor when I need to fix my armor. I don't mind. In fact, the food thing and the food and water thing has gotten better because it's when you are well fed and hydrated, you get buffs. But if those numbers tick down, you don't get a deficit. It just takes the buffs away. And the psychology of that is enough that I don't mind running around dehydrated. That sounds terrible. In order to just continue with the things I'm doing until I find more water or whatever. And you find a lot of that stuff. I mean, you come across tons of water and food in the game, and you can make a lot of those things. The ammo, though, keeps me from playing a build where I can just shoot a ton of bullets or lasers or whatever at an enemy and not have to worry about running out. It feels like it is a cost. It feels like ammo in this game is a currency. And a lot of people treat it that way. They'll sell ammo, specific types of ammo, for specific amounts of money. Usually it's like one cap per piece of ammo, but it has become a currency. When I go to a big event, like if I'm doing the alien event that just happened this last month, and I put on my assault build and I pull out an assault weapon, I'm counting my bullets every time I shoot at enemies because I know if I shoot too much or if I miss too much, then that's going to mean I have to do more work later in order to get more ammo again. It shouldn't have to feel like that. It should feel like I need to focus on the event. I want to shoot these enemies as best I can. And if I miss some shots, it doesn't matter because I'm in the mix and I'm doing what I can in order to do my best to help out with the event. But instead, I'm conserving ammo. And that's the game I'm playing. And I don't want to play the I'm conserving ammo game. I want to play Fallout. I want to play events. I want to play quests. I don't want to worry about that. So I'm keeping to a single shot build currently until either I get more okay with this or amass enough extra ammo to then use some other weapons for a while and then go back to my other build for a little bit. But in the whole scheme of things, those are some very minor complaints to have about a huge game with a ton of people playing right now that was decimated by reviews and problems, like fairly so decimated by reviews because of the problems really early on. But in wrap up, it is a much better game now. It is totally worth playing, whether solo or with other people. I've gotten a lot of questions about this recently, so I wanted to kind of do this episode to at least clarify for everyone where it's at. Also, thank you for the invitations to play together. I'm very bad at scheduling time to play with other people, but if you do see me in the world, keep an eye out for, I think I'm just named Robots? I think I'm just Robots. So if you see Robots in Fallout 76 on PC, that's me. I believe I have zeros for O's. And come say hi, wave at me. Maybe we can form a little group and run around. And I can't always get on the microphone because, you know, family's doing other things in other rooms and I don't want to be annoying. But if you see me in the game, come say hi. And I hope maybe for some of you, it gives you a new insight into Fallout 76 and you try it out for the first time. For those of you who haven't played in a while, maybe you'll jump back in and maybe I'll see you in the wasteland. All right. Thanks for being here. I'll see you next time. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people, on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.